From his roots in Sweetwater, Texas, Dr. Carl Anderson went on to become a Methodist minister and a subsequent career as a college professor at Texas Tech University. An addiction to alcohol led to his contemplating suicide. A month at Hazleton Treatment Center in Minnesota in 1982 utterly transformed his life. Anderson subsequently founded the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery at Texas Tech, and he then led the charge to create formal licensing procedures for addiction counselors that was adopted by all 50 states. Anderson's fourth career commenced with his retirement from Texas Tech when he decided to become a rancher, which led to his fifth career as the current executive director of the National Ranching Heritage Center at Texas Tech University in Lubbock. Come along and join Dr. Carl Anderson as he shares snippets of his incredibly fascinating life and his passion for the National Ranching Heritage Center.
Tell us about your background.
My father was a Danish immigrant, ended up in Sweetwater, Texas, and that's where I was born and raised.
And when did your dad emigrate?
As a child. I believe he was 5 years old.
In what year?
In 1906.
When he grew up, what did he do for work?
Well, he became a lawyer, and he was a small country lawyer in Sweetwater till the day he died.
Then you were born in Sweetwater?
I was born in Sweetwater. And went through high school there.
So you got out of high school, and your world as far as what you thought you were going to do and where you were going to go.
That's an interesting story. When I graduated high school, I was a basketball player, went to college on a basketball scholarship. I was pre-med and thought I would be a medical doctor.
And that was at Texas Tech?
No, at McMurray University. Now it was McMurray College in Abilene.
But then something switched.
Something switched, and I decided to become a minister. And so rather than going to med school when I graduated, I went to seminary.
So did you minister?
I was a minister for several years. And during that period of time, I learned to drink and became an alcoholic.
Wow. So whiskey, or what did you like to drink?
Whiskey is what I like to drink.
Yeah. But you did something about it eventually, and that in two ways changed your life.
Well, yes, several things happened in there. I've got degrees from four universities. I did well as a student, even in my PhD work, as a practicing alcoholic. And people say, well, how could you do that? And I said, well, because I wasn't stupid, I was sick. I ended up after several different psychology degrees from Florida State University. Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do with your degree in psychology?
Came to Texas Tech, not teaching in a psychology department, but teaching in a family studies, which I taught marriage and family type classes, and it did that for several years.
And then I heard somewhere that you started a center for recovery.
I did. I ended up getting in recovery from my alcoholism in 1982.
What happened? What was the epiphanous moment? What was that wall that you hit that changed things for you in the early 80s?
That is a really long story and filled with a lot of trauma, which I don't share much publicly. But alcoholism is a tough disease. And I had a year of recovery four different times. And that's when I really became an expert in addiction studies, because I read everything there was to read, and then I would decide, okay, I've got this thing beat. Now I can drink like a normal person. No, didn't work that way. So finally, in a series of events that I really won't share, I decided to commit suicide.
Wow.
And but before that happened, some folks got me convinced to go to a treatment center at Hazleton in Minnesota.
It's really famous, yeah.
Yes, and spent 30 days there. Came out a different person. That was December the 12th, 1982. And I've been clean and sober ever since.
Wow, that's really cool. And are you still involved in recovery, helping others?
Oh, yes, very much. I ended up starting a program called the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery, and among working with recovering alcoholics and addicts. And then I discovered there was no training available anywhere for people to be addiction counselors. There was no such thing as licensure in Texas or any state. And so I developed an academic program to train counselors. I told the legislature that there should be a licensing of addiction counselors. And I will simply say that in the following years, that educational format was adopted by all 50 states and our licensure program. And in most places, it's referred to as the Anderson Model.
Wow. So, not bad.
It's been interesting.
I'm very proud. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So here you are in your fourth life. So where are we right now, and what do you do here?
Well, back in the 1990, when I knew retirement was coming up down the way, I'd never been a rancher, no ranching experience, but I thought, I want to be a rancher when I retire. And we bought a nice-sized ranch out in Dickens County and got started on that. And I have been involved in that and in the Ranching Heritage Center ever since 1992.
And what's your position and title here at the Ranching Center?
I am executive director of the museum.
Wow. Not bad.
Wow.
Yeah. How did that happen? Did you kind of work your way up, start as a volunteer, or how did that evolve?
I became very active. We have a membership association which funds this place. And by the way, of this entire marvelous facility that you've seen, there are no state or university funds have been used to build this. It's all been by private donations. And I've been very active in that. I was president of the association. And when our executive director abruptly resigned a little over a year ago, I was asked by the president of the university if I would step in and take hold and lead us through this. We had issues, and it's been a good year, and we've got the issues resolved. We're now searching for a permanent director.
Very cool. So what are the things that you're most proud of here at the Heritage Center, things that you would say are must-sees that people should experience?
Well, one of them, and you will get to see it if you haven't already, we own Quanah Parker's ceremonial attire, weaponry, saddles that Quanah Parker gave to Burke Burnett, who gave to his son. Anyway, gave it to the Ranching Heritage Center many years ago, and we have an agreement with the Comanches that it will be absolutely kept under lock and key and will not be opened unless Comanches are here to hold a ceremony that involves smoking some herbs. And back in the 1800s, a little girl was kidnapped. Many books have been written by her. I'm sorry I'm blanking on the name right now. And the most recent book that is widely read is Empire of the Summer Moon. And it was the life of this kidnapped girl who ended up marrying a Comanche, and her son, who became chief of the entire Comanche nation, was named Quanah Parker. Uh-huh. Cynthia Ann Parker was the little girl that was kidnapped. And
this was a settler kid?
Yeah, a settler kid from down in southwest Texas. The tragic story is, in later life, she was kidnapped back by the Americans, lived a terrible few years, tried to escape many times to go back to the Indians, and then died really tragically, basically kept captive from where she wanted to be.
Wow, that sounds like a great Hollywood movie.
Great story.
Going forward here at the Heritage Center, what are the things that you would like to see accomplished that aren't done, that are still a work in progress?
We would like to have all kinds of structures that are representative of our past. We are actually in negotiations to try to obtain Quanah Parker's home, which is in Oklahoma, to move it here. We would like to have a church on our grounds. We would like to have possibly a saloon, because both of those were very prominent in the frontier days. But nevertheless, those are on the wish list, and that will come to pass. And the structures that we have out here are all the authentic structure actually moved in, with one exception, that you probably saw stone structure. When they started to move it, they realized there was a burial ground underneath the grounds and decided not to move it, and we replicated that, but all others are. And one of the things we want is just to be known more to the general public, because we think that we have captured history here in a way not captured anywhere else.
Really is very distinctive and unique what you find here. It's like stepping back in time.
Well, thank you.
For further information, you have a website.
We do have a website, nrhc.org. Or you can Google National Ranching Heritage Center and it comes up.
Carl, thank you so much for sharing.
Well, thank you for your interest, and I've enjoyed visiting with you, and I'm proud to know who your father was. I didn't know him personally, but know of him very well.
Yeah, I wish you guys could have met.
I do too. And my name is Carl Anderson.
Thanks again, Carl.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.